Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Thursday. Hearing from a lot of people that had no idea what grooming was, by the way, including one of our former Decatur's finest. He assumed it didn't have anything to do with Brill Cream, but had no idea what it actually meant. So there you have it. Good morning and welcome. Paul Osborne, the City Hall Insider, joins us in studios here today, publisher of the Decatur Tribune, twice elected by the people of Decatur to be the mayor of Decatur. I don't want to spend all day on this, but I would like to go to back. You have a recap in this week's edition of the Tribune, and of course you can check this out online. I read it last night at thedecatortribune.com. Just some sort of takeaways, you know, a week or so outside of the election. You and I agree on one thing. Surprised that Randy Keith, in his rejection by the voters of the 101st, decided he was just going to give up on public life altogether.
Yeah, that shocked me. And certainly he was very confident going in. I think he worked hard. I think he certainly had a means of conveying to the fact, I'm the average guy. You know, I'm the guy you want over there. I get things done. I work with people. Actually, I thought he ran a pretty good campaign, you know, overall. And he had a big problem, I think, overcoming the influence of Macon County and Decatur.
He did. And I will tell you this. I liked him a great deal, you know, in person.
Yeah.
But he did not spend a ton of time here that I'm aware of. I mean, he was always available for the show. I'm not complaining about that. But I just think at the end of the day, you got to be more than a guy in a fishing boat. You got to tell people what you're going to do.
Yeah, and I think it's at the end of the day, too, and I think, you know, we've discussed this from time to time. You know, Dan Calkins, you know, we've had our differences with Dan, but Dan is our brother in Decatur. You know,
at the end of the day, I mean, that's what cinched it for me. And the fact that Randy was taking some of this teachers union money, I'm thrilled with all the money coming in from outside the district. But you can't take money from outside the district and then tell me I shouldn't vote for the other guy for doing the same thing.
Yeah, and I think that neutralized a lot of the negative impact that Dan received at first for all that $200,000.
Yeah. And by the way, I know for certain Dan will tell those people to go right to you-know-where if he disagrees. I don't know that about Randy Keith. Maybe he would do the same thing, but I know Dan will.
Yeah, and I can tell you from experience he will. That
Dan would take the check before it was even cashed and tell them, you know, where to go.
Yeah, and so I think anyone who would make the claim that you know, Dan would be a Chicago lackey because of this money, they don't know the Dan Calkins we know.
We don't.
He will vote what he thinks
so
is
it was
right.
A little surprise to me then Randy Keith resigns his board chairmanship and his seat to the Piatt County board. It almost seemed pouty. I know maybe he was just disappointed and felt like the people didn't believe in him, but it seemed a little bit like I'm gonna take my ball and go home. I was kind of turned off by that.
Yeah, I was shocked by it. I mean, I was shocked, and I think probably any candidate like that, I know everybody works hard if you're trying to win. And you count on people to come through for you, and they have the right to vote for whatever person they want. I think maybe you should just take a step back for a week or two and kind of...
Pretty hasty.
Yeah, and just almost an immediate reaction. I've seen that in some other candidates in city elections that, you know, they lose an election or they lose an election for another office, and they're just going to quit, just kind of give up because I think they feel the pain. Well, hey, not everyone loves you.
And I'm not saying this about Mr. Keith. Like I said, I enjoyed getting to know him a little bit, a great deal. I thought he was a very nice guy.
Yeah, I did too.
But how much do you really want to serve when the only indicator or level of that service is to be in public office? I mean, we hear this time and time again. I've seen this with a million candidates over the 21 years of doing this, 22 years. You know, Steve Daniels sitting trying to tell me, you know, all he had was the best interest of this community. He really wanted to move us forward, and all he cared about was Decatur. He lost that mayoral election, moved to Colorado. So how much do you really care if the only way you keep scores if you're mayor?
Yeah, I think also, and we discussed this a little bit before we went on the air, I think you have to look at a person's involvement in the community before that decision was made to run for an office for that community.
Right.
Are they someone that's done a lot of volunteer work? Have they been involved? Have they been involved in helping the community in some way?
I could name you 100 people that do everything that happens in this town that are involved in every single thing, right? You go to these meetings. I go to these meetings. You saw this when you were mayor. And none of them want to run for public office. But if they did, they probably all of them have a good chance of getting elected. But that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it to make the community a better place.
Yeah, and unfortunately, those are the kind of people you want in office.
Right.
You know,
but when you get a guy that's trying to convince you because, you know, he wanted to be mayor, that all he had was the best interest of this community, and then he just up and moves as soon as he loses, you know, the mayoral race, you didn't want to be mayor because you cared about the community.
Yeah, it looks that way. I mean, it looks bad for your candidacy and the reasons you gave for your candidacy. And I, you know, over the years, I've really seen that. You know, long before I became mayor, I saw people that were just so thrilled about the community. And for the most part, I'd never heard of them before, never seen them before. They pop up, they run, they
lose, then they disappear.
They disappear.
Yeah.
You don't hear from them again. That's
not uncommon.
Yeah,
it's why they lose, by the way, too.
Yeah, and I think maybe they need to realize that a lot of these votes are built on relationships of people who know you over the years and see how involved you are,
yeah,
how dedicated you are to doing the right thing. And when you decide, if you ever do, to run for office, these people remember those things. Hey, you were involved in the community long before you decided to run for council or mayor.
Yeah. Well, I think it's I think it's telling that it's an ego thing, that people want to just run for office to run for office. And all too often we've got and here lately, I would say over the last couple of election cycles, it's gotten, you know, really watered down in a lot of cases where you've got people that don't have any idea what they're doing running for office. Right. We get a lot of that. Or you get these people that pop up and all of a sudden they want to be a community leader, whatever that means, quote, you know, end quote. And they're a community leader for the entire cycle of the election campaign, and then they just disappear and go away.
Yeah, and I can just think, I bring to mind just a lot of people that I've known over the years that I think were basically good candidates as far as candidates, but the involvement before, I'd never heard of them before, and I get around a lot, and certainly after even half the length of time that I've been editor, you know, I knew a lot of people in town just by interviewing them and being at meetings, and these were new people who just kind of popped up on the scene and going to do this for Decatur and going to do that for Decatur.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen them since.
No.
But
that is fairly common over the years.
Yeah. Going back to Randy Keith, I was surprised at that because I liked Randy too. I liked talking with him. And, but, you know, give it some time. And I hope that somehow, some way, after he thinks about it, that he'll get involved in the community again. And I think if you have that in your heart, you will. You will. You took it really personal.
It may be just that. It may just be sting, you know, like, you know, and probably hard not to take it personal. But anyway, I hope he does whatever makes him happy.
He's a nice guy. I'm with you.
But Dan worked hard. And I don't think you can take that away from Dan Calkins.
No. And I think I mentioned last week, too, we got down to the last week. Dan put $35,000 of his own money, and mm-hmm. he's not a millionaire, as far as I know, into this camp. And I asked him, why you? He said, because I felt I needed to do that to win. Mm-hmm. So it's not only like we're getting money from somewhere else. Dan had his own money in this race, and I think I commend him for that. Just like saying after if I had more money, I might have. Well, Dan saw that he needs to do some things to make up some ground.
All right, you also heard from Josh Tanner after the election, who won the Republican primary by 59 votes over Samantha Murray in the circuit in the clerk race.
Yeah, and Josh indicated certainly Samantha Murray had run a really tough race. I think we all would agree with that, and pushed all the right buttons as far as PR was concerned. And Josh indicated to me on a couple different occasions that he had learned a lot from this campaign, and that we would be seeing more of him, and certainly in this campaign, heading towards November, that he was going to be out more and certainly issuing press releases about some of the things he would like to see in the office, touting his experience. I think that's one thing that he probably didn't do enough of. I mean, he's a pretty experienced guy for the office, and that really wasn't much said about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what he does, because he's going to have a tough time in the fall. You know, we've got all these races. We know what it looks like. And you've got some, you know, opponents. You've got some incumbents. You have in the sheriff's race, you know, no incumbent, which is going to be interesting. Now, the thing to me, wrapping up our election coverage, I know this is 2 weeks later, but mm-hmm. sometimes you got to kind of dive into the minutia here, is that Tony Brown was within 1,000 votes of Jim Root with an opponent.
Yeah. Yeah, and
I mean, that's an interesting number to look at.
Yeah, I think you look at that, and also by the margin that he won that race, that primary race, I think Jim Root you know, he's going to have his hands full.
Well, it's going to be a race. There's no doubt about it. Because and more Democrats voted, obviously, because if you just do the math, there were more Democrat tallies than there were Republicans in the sheriff's race. When you add John Butts and Tony Brown's votes together, there are more than the people that voted for Jim Roop. And some would suggest maybe that was maybe people pulling ballot. I have no idea. But that's going to be a race that I hope is the same as this race was, as far as them being professional and not getting personal. And I have no reason to believe it won't be. But now it's just the two of them, and we're going to see what happens in November.
Yeah, this was a very, very clean race. That's what you expected out of the sheriff's race with the two candidates in the primary and also the Republican that's waiting now. They all have very similar backgrounds. It's hard to say, well, this person doesn't have any experience in this. You know, they all do. And I thought that professionally, whenever they were in panels or on panels and speaking, they were very friendly towards each other. And it's kind of unusual in a campaign like this for a pretty high-profile office.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, anyway, there we have it. We know what we have in November. And I would just suggest to the candidates, you know, in a local race, I mean, it matters. Talking to people, shaking hands, knocking on doors, being at things. Some people have that instinctively. Tony Brown's been doing that his entire life.
Yeah, and I think that you need to be aware that you may have people saying, yeah, I'll vote for you and that, but that's not enough. You've got to get your name out there, and you've got to act like and it's got to be true that you want that office.
And you got to show up at everything. Yeah. I'm telling you, people don't realize, the people that think they show up at stuff but really don't realize how obvious it is to the people who show up that they're not there.
Yeah, it's almost more of a negative impact when you don't show up than a positive impact when you do show
up.
Yeah,
it's almost like showing up just negates the fact that you show up. I mean, I'm telling you, over the years, a candidate will start out hot, you know, and you'll go to two or three things and they're there and you go, okay, well, that guy's working it. And then, you know, it peters out and you got to do that.
Yeah.
It matters.
Well, it really does matter. And because those people are people that circulate in most of these events with other people. And they say, oh, so-and-so was here.
And they're the same people that write checks and offer support and do all of that. I'm just telling you, that's why it's always, you know, they're doing an event tonight for the guy who's running against Sue Scheer, you know. And I heard from this guy right before the food drive because he wanted to volunteer, which I think he did come over and volunteer. But at the food drive, he never introduced himself. I don't think I ever met him. I haven't heard from him since October. You're not going to win this race doing this.
No, I've never heard from him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And probably if you asked me his name right now, I probably couldn't tell you.
Yeah, that kind of seems to be the normal way that they do it nowadays. And I don't understand that.
I don't either. And I don't know if they rely too much.
I got news for you. Yard signs is not going to overcome that.
No. And I think it takes everything. It really does. It takes everything. And you work as hard as you can. And you don't leave any stone unturned. And don't miss any opportunity with the media. You know, a lot of that stuff is free. Take advantage of it. Get your name out. And we saw in the case of the county clerk's primary, what, 50-some vote difference?
59 votes, I believe, was it.
Yeah.
And that's tough for her. I felt bad for her because you've got, I almost think you'd rather get beat like John Butts than lose by 59 votes. Because 59 votes, you're just like forever, like, man, I could have done this.
Yeah.
You know, just one more thing, you know. Yeah. We'll hear from her again.
I think she scored a lot of points with people, and I think as I mentioned in the column this week, I think she'll stay politically active. She had some strong support from, I guess I would call Republican old-timers, and so I think they're looking for her, you know, not necessarily for this office in the future, but she'll be around.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought she was a very impressive young lady. So we've got a lot to get to here today, and we're only about a quarter way through it. Mark Topper coming up at the bottom of the hour. And so you were named the number one reporter in all the land?
I think it's quite all the land.
All the Macon County land or the local land?
Yeah, and I was shocked. I was. I had no idea. And Joel in the Herald Review's Reader's Choice, and Joel,
number one local newspaper reporter.
Yeah, but didn't say in all the land or the universe.
I was adding that as making it a little more.
I was shocked. Yeah. I really was. I mean, sometimes people went, oh well, you know, not maybe, you know, I just the office manager came in and said, you know, somebody out here wants to see you. I think you better talk to them. So another Joel was there with this black, and I don't know. It's really, Joel seemed happy for me. I don't know, because I've known him for a long time, you know, as you have.
So, absolutely.
And, it was a good feeling. It was, because I you know, I didn't even know I was nominated. I didn't even know I was in the running or anything else. So yeah.
Joel's smiling because he's in the advertising side of things, and this is a gigantic advertising boon for the Herald and Review, and I kudos to them. I will mention that it's got to be a little weird, though, for one media outlet to tell you you're the best newspaper reporter and to give us one for the best website for Nauticator.com. I'm sure the news side of their business probably goes, hey, that's not. But the advertising side goes, yes, because they make a lot of money off this thing, which is kudos to them. It was a great idea and concept when they started this all those years ago. But kudos and congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I just and Joel, I think he was, you know, very sincere when he congratulated, like he was like a kid, like, here, yeah, look what I have.
Oh, by the way, I will tell you, and I haven't been grateful on the air, and I should have been. It just didn't occur to me, to be honest, until I saw Paul's picture with Joel on the DecaturTribune.com. The people who did vote, to be honest with you, I didn't vote. I didn't even know it was my bad. I mean, I didn't know. But Nauticator.com was voted the number one website, right, indicator. But what I'm really proud of is I think the best event we have all year is clearly the Decatur Celebration, which was the number one event of the year. But number two was the WSOY Community Food Drive, which I think is the order that makes sense to me. Because, yeah. But proud that is thought of along with the Decatur Celebration as something that's, you know, one of the more notable things we do in our community.
Well, I think the food drive, it's almost a different category.
I know, honored to say that, you know, people think of it in terms of like the Decatur Celebration, to think about the events they're proud of.
I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the work you do and everybody else does. That is a major, major event. And it just, I don't know, it's just so right. It feels right. It's just like,
it
does.
And
a community
you've
does.
Always been a part of it, and we hope you always will be. So anyway, congratulations. Well, and thanks to Joel and the whole staff down there. It was a nice, and to everyone who voted, because we didn't prompt you to. That was just organic.
You know, the Herald and Review has always been very fair to me.
Yeah.
They really, I mean, you know, they endorsed me when I ran for mayor. Can you imagine? You endorse the publisher of the other paper.
Yeah,
to
me it was an easy choice, but, you know, that's, you know.
They always gave me fair coverage, I felt.
There you go. Well, that's because you're the number one local newspaper reporter in town. We'll take a break. Back with more. Here's Jeff Daly with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Cloudy skies today. Look for some showers, mainly before noon. Areas of fog out there as well. 50 your afternoon high. Clouds tonight, 34 the overnight low. Clouds to start the day on Good Friday. Sunny in the afternoon with a high of 54. And then rain rolls back in on Saturday. Cloudy skies at a high of 55. It is 46 currently at the studios in downtown Decatur.
I'm Jen Wood from Maroa Lumber Company. At Maroa Lumber, we carry more than just top quality grade lumber. We feature high performing brands like Anderson, Wadena, CHI, and Milwaukee. We also carry composite decking, molding, and trim, siding materials, garage doors, Pratt & Lambert paint, and so much more. At Maroa Lumber, we offer free estimates and takeoffs on any job. Whether it's a small project or building your dream home, Maroa Lumber has the knowledgeable staff to get the job done. Visit us at MaroaLumber.com or give us a call, 794-2226.
Hello, you've reached Toyota. This is Jan. How can I help?
Oh, Jan, I am so ready for spring. I can't wait to get out of the house and go somewhere.
Sounds like you could use a new Toyota. And now through April 2nd, we have low APR financing on select models.
That's why I called.
Oh, I just love the sounds of spring.
Oh, here, I've got one.
You got me on that one. What's that?
That's me awakening after a long winter's nap, cruising the open road in my new Toyota.
Wow, you're good.
Thanks.
Get 0% APR financing for 60 months plus $500 bonus cash on a new 2018 Toyota RAV4. Toyota, let's go places.
0% APR financing for 60 months with $1,667 per $1,000 borrowed on approved credit from Toyota Financial Services. Bonus cash on TFS contracts only. Must be applied to the transaction. No cash payment will be made to the consumer. Call 1-800-79-TOYOTA for details. Does not include taxes, license, title registration fees, and dealer fees. Does not include college, guard, or military rebate. Varies by region. See dealer for details. Offers end 4/18.
What can Dell Brown Services do for you?
Dell Brown Services can do just about anything for you. A variety of hauling and delivery. You need that old carpet hauled away?
Dell Brown Services can do it.
Have a basement or garage full of items that need cleaned out?
Dell Brown Services can do it.
Dell Brown Services, offering delivery from all major chain stores, cleanup, and removal of unwanted items from your home. Need it hauled or delivered? Dell Brown Services is who you call. We are fully insured and reliable.
Call Dell Brown Services today at 521-9495.
You're listening to Byers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Oh, yeah. By the way, that's Paul's favorite rapper right there.
Oh, yeah.
Ludacris, right? Big Ludacris fan.
Yeah, yeah. I drive all over the country. See.
Yeah.
Or her. Which is it?
It's a him. Yes, it's a him. Thank you. Good morning and welcome. The City Hall Insider, the number one local newspaper reporter in all of the land, is with us here, as he is each and every Thursday. All right. So I am amazed that Hollywood is amazed that this Roseanne show did what it did the other night. Now, I did not watch it. I thought about it, but it's been a long time since I've just watched sort of a network television show real time. But it blew away all expectations. It had 10% more viewers than the season finale did of Roseanne originally 21 years ago. And you think about all your choices now versus 21 years ago, and Hollywood stunned. It didn't do well. I think Chicago was the only top market that it was in the top 20. But they're shocked that there's a middle America.
Yeah, I watched it. I wasn't too excited about watching it, but you know, as the program kind of progressed, one reason I watched it, see what would happen. You know, it was I enjoyed it. I will watch it again. And I think because of the fact that there's some traditional values involved there, and it's kind of like a typical family. A lot of the things that they go through is what a lot of families go to, and probably is more in touch with what Hollywood sees.
But this is what I'm talking about. We listen to these celebrities, and I brought this up with Jeff earlier because it drives me crazy. Everybody's entitled to their point of view. I don't have a problem with that. I'm a free speech guy, and I mean free speech for everyone. But you're interviewing Barry Diller, if you're Maureen Dowd, and oh, by the way, you have a conversation about how he spent $100,000 in a South Korean firm getting his dog reincarnated, meaning they created a clone. How in the world are you ever going to be in touch with normal people?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
and Barbara Streisand's the same. I mean, same thing. She
and
had a dog's clone.
With us?
Yeah, but you fly over people, you morons.
Yeah. I don't know. The other night, this attorney for Stormy Daniels, who's making himself a star out of this, he said something when he was asked about this and something else. And he said, I do this because it's righteous.
Yeah.
You know,
whatever.
And, you know, it makes you want to throw up.
It
does. Just like what they do is righteous. What you do is ignorant.
Yeah, that's it. But that's why they still can't figure out how Donald Trump won.
Yeah.
It's why they can't figure out these ratings. This is the highest rated television show in 3.5 years. So in 3.5 years, all the stuff they've been putting out directed at you doesn't work. And this does. And then everybody's got to go do soul searching. I'm just telling you, these people are out of touch. Now, that doesn't mean they're not entitled to their point of view or their argument or their space. But this isn't surprising to me that a whole lot of people tuned in to see Roseanne because of the crap that's on TV now. I mean, okay, so this is people like it.
Well, yeah, and you think of the number of people that at least tell me they like watching the old shows, you know, where they're more of a clean concept. Go back, watch Father Knows Best. Okay, maybe it was Father Knows Best.
Wow, Paul, that was like a coach move there. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break for the news. Back with more. Here is Jeff Daly. When we get back, there's a new neighborhood name for an old neighborhood. And I'll tell you what that's all about. Plus, I was looking at, I get my James Milliken Homestead Gazette. I still get that in the mail. Along with the Decatur Tribune. A couple things that I like old school hard copy versions of. And we'll tell you some interesting facts about the Milliken Homestead. Part of that whole new name change and neighborhood. After the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 30 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discernible coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Since 1955, Blaine's Farm and Fleet has earned the trust of farmers and Midwest families by offering great brands at honest prices. Everything we sell is carefully chosen to ensure you're getting top quality with every brand you buy. Get ready for spring fence repairs with 4-foot light-duty U-posts from Maisel. They're $189. Save on Hart brand treated round wood posts, a 3.5-inch by 7-foot post priced at $599. Other size posts also on sale. Keep your chickens fed with a Little Giant 12-pound capacity galvanized hanging poultry feeder. It's $12.99. Pick up a Series 950 OHV transfer pump with Briggs & Stratton engine from Pacer Pumps. It's lightweight and portable with a carry handle. On sale, $259.99. And save on Valvoline Premium Blue 15W40 oil. A gallon, just $11.99. Trust. It's what we were founded on. It's what we try to earn every day. That's genuine value from Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
What are the signs of a foundation problem? Cracks can be in outside masonry or inside drywall. They can be in block or poured concrete. Cracks can be vertical or horizontal, but they all have two things in common. One, they get worse if you ignore them. And two, they keep stealing value from your home until the cause is fixed. Call Woods Basement Systems for a free estimate. Call Woods toll-free at 866-851-5061 or go online for a special offer at woodsbasementsystems.com. That's woodsbasementsystems.com.
Everyone knows Sheldon's from the Lone Star State.
I'm Texas through and through.
And Texans love real food.
We made Tex-Mex.
Wonderful dinner. Some assembly required.
The Big Bang Theory, five nights a week.
Weeknights at 6 on Fox, Illinois.
We know everyone's busy. That's why we started Fox Springfield News at 9. Get your local news, sports, weather, an hour earlier. Everything you need to know, when you need to know it. On Fox Springfield News at 9.
Hi, this is Michelle Reynolds, financial advisor at Wells Fargo Advisors. As someone who supports the community, I understand how important it is to shop locally. 68 cents of every dollar spent goes right back into our community. Just imagine the impact if everyone shopped locally. So please, think twice before spending your dollars outside of Decatur. Let's put our hard-earned money back into this community. This message is brought to you by Michelle Reynolds, Mark Reynolds, and John Weber of Wells Fargo Advisors and Neuhoff Media Decatur.
This is Byers & Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Thursday. I know the whole backstory, but can I still enjoy the Jackson 5? It gives me, like, pleasure just when I hear the opening. Doesn't it? Seemed like a better world when Michael Jackson was, like, this tall and, like,
Little Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Before all the weirdness ensued. Yes. Well, good morning and welcome. City Hall insider Paul Osborne is back with us. I was reading my James Milliken Homestead Gazette yesterday. I think this comes out quarterly, maybe, and they give you an update. And these are very nice people that work very hard to preserve the great tradition and history of our town. Now, there's just one group, and there's several groups that do this. We can get into the neighborhood organizations because we've got a new name for a new neighborhood, which I like. Here is the couple of interesting facts from the Milliken Homestead Gazette. And you do a lot of this in the Tribune. People like to kind of know about the past, right? I think the past informs us of our future.
Right.
History, you know, is important still.
You learn from the past.
Yes, you really do. This has been listed on the National Register of Historic Places since 1974. And the homestead was an early promoter of the arts. It was the original meeting place of the Decatur Art Class, which was founded in 1880. Now, I want you to think about 1880, people getting together to do art. And it housed the Decatur Art Institute. I'd never heard of the Decatur Art Institute from 1942 to 1969. I wonder what that was. Anybody has any information about that, I'd love to hear from you. Email address is byers@wsoyam.com. The Decatur Art Institute was at the Milliken Homestead from 1942 to 1969. Now, this is obviously before the formation of the Decatur Area Arts Council and all of that. By the way, it's a 4.5 stars on the TripAdvisor app, and some of the reviews include this one. It is one of the most beautiful residences I've ever seen, a true showplace. So the homestead is an interesting part, but the whole Milliken University area is getting a new name. The near West End is now going to be called Milliken Heights.
I like that.
I do, too, because as great as history is, you also still need to evolve and change.
Yeah, I don't know.
They've actually defined the boundaries, so you know exactly what it is.
Yeah, there's magic in that name. There really is. It kind of ties everything together in a sense of pride about our history. And, yeah, I really like the name.
So it was known as the Near West Side or Near West End over the years, will now be Milliken Heights. That's according to Tom Lisi in today's Herald Review. The new name is part of the group's efforts to refocus its mission on building a stronger neighborhood identity and capitalizing on the city's impending neighborhood revitalization initiative, scheduled to be voted on by the city council in May. We continue to come back to this issue that people didn't know where the neighborhood was or what it was called. This is Alan Dusterhaus, I believe. I hope I'm not butchering that too bad, who was elected the new president of NRAP over this past summer. So kudos to these folks who go out there and do this. I mean, it's a lot of time and a lot of effort. And neighborhoods are not the same today as they were 50 years ago.
Well, and you can't market neighborhoods like you used to.
Although, I'll tell you what the parents, and I will give all of the credit to the parents first, Second, I will go to the administration and the staff at Dennis School. But I think first and foremost, that was an outside-in driven sort of thing. They have made that a destination area for young parents. That the West End has recycled completely.
Yeah, I know a lot of young couples with young children. You have bought homes and moving into the
you
West
bet.
End.
And what's crazy, Paul, is that for a couple of years there, the school board that we had, not the one that we have now, but the ones that were voted out, were so insanely jealous of that they took issue with it. Why are we focusing so much? It wasn't the district focusing. It was the parents and the volunteers and the people. I mean, why in the world would you not want to duplicate that?
Yeah.
What is it about human nature that does that? I mean, you get a really good success story, and the first out of the gate is, well, we can't have them having that favoritism. Instead of saying, well, how do we duplicate that across town?
Well, yeah, I think parental involvement in any school district is...
It would have been the norm 50 years ago.
Yeah, and not so much today.
Not at all.
And so when there is that level of environment, it's really noticeable. It stands out.
Yeah, but I mean, you ask a realtor, you know, people started, you know, inquiring about homes in the West End because it became an education destination.
Yeah, yeah. And I think when you look at that and the job that's been done out there, I think you say, yeah, that's the way we used to do it years ago. Parents went to all the school activities. Mm-hmm. They were involved. They made sure their kids were there.
And that's
there,
not to say there's not. You know, I mean, we've been at Johns Hill for 8 years, and there's a group of parents that do a lot of – I mean, there still are. But I think that there's a lot that's happened in that whole West End area. Milliken, you know, building and construction, you know, revitalization, kind of a recycling of generations in that. And now it's going to be known as Milliken Heights, which I love it because I think the more you can tie Milliken and that neighborhood together, the better we are.
Yeah, I think it's certainly a great name and a great name for a marketing tool for that area.
Uh-huh.
And I think you're right. It was hard for people even to know sometimes what the correct name was if you weren't familiar.
Is that the near West End?
Yeah, or what? Where's that? And this way, it pretty well defines the area you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a good move.
They really do. Also, a quick thank you again to Claire Hettinger. She wrote a story on the front page of today's Herald Review, and although this started with the WSOY Community Food Drive, I'd never heard this story before.
Hmm.
And it is about that people here that have to serve community service hours, that they have created, literally, an ability, the Macon County Probation Office, for people to bring in food and collect food as a way to serve the community for the food drive.
Hmm.
Since 2015. Jeff, have you ever heard this story?
I had never heard that either.
No, I hadn't either.
Well, this is what I love about the food drive is that it's, you know, technically, I guess, ours, it's community. I mean, we named it right, that's for sure.
Right.
We were just sort of guessing at the beginning. But the idea that they took on with their own initiative, literally after the 2015, or at the end of the 2015 WSOY Community Food Drive, that they've collected almost $100,000 worth of food in exchange for 20,000 community service hours with this program.
Oh, wow. Well, I think that's the beauty of the food drive is because it's just not the food drive itself. It's what it's inspired in other areas of the community, and many times you don't even see it, and it happens. And now this is something that comes. I didn't know about this.
I didn't either.
And so that's another. You know, how many other things are going on?
Judge Weber approved the program in 2015. And basically what it amounts to is 1 hour of community service is worth $5 toward the fine payment. That same price for a food donation towards an hour is now allowed. So, I mean, basically, you know, $100,000, I mean, that's 20,000 hours. That's a lot of service. So to Judge Weber and to Jim Taylor and all the folks that are there with the probation services, thank you on behalf of everyone. I had no idea.
Well, it's very positive. It's very positive for those involved and certainly very positive for the community in general. It really is. And another reason... You know, I love this community. There's so many good people having good ideas.
Well, and just connecting dots, you know, and everybody pulling in the same direction. I've always thought that food drive, whatever it is or evolves into, was a recipe for success for the community. When everyone decides to not be left or right or Republican or Democrat or black or white or young or old, and all everybody does is push in the same direction, you can accomplish anything.
Yeah, and I think that's the secret. Everyone pushing in the same direction. Usually it's half the people pushing one direction.
Yeah,
the other
and then everybody
half
pulling the other way. Yes.
Yeah, and that brings everybody together. And maybe that ultimately is the great beauty of it, of a community brought together for a common purpose to help other people. You can't get any better than that.
All right, we'll have our own little history lesson when we return, courtesy of the Decatur Tribune scrapbook. You know, we could have been the capital. Oh, God, did we miss, you know. I know that one time that probably would have been the envy, right? That Decatur could have been the capital of Illinois. Now, let's look at the capital today and think maybe we dodged a bullet all those years ago. We'll tell you all about it when we return. Here is Jeff Daly with your WSOY three-day forecast.
Cloudy skies today, some showers mainly before noon, 50 degrees your afternoon high. For tonight, cloudy skies, 34 the overnight low. Friday, good Friday morning, cloudy skies, sunny in the afternoon with a high of 52, and then clouds roll back in, bring some rain back to the forecast on Saturday with a high of 55. 46 right now in downtown Decatur.
HSHS St. Mary's Hospital offers the most maternity options for your most important delivery. Just as you may be expanding your family, we are expanding the services we offer to provide you with the most comprehensive care options for your newborn. We hope you'll celebrate your newborn's first day with us. We're committed to taking care of your whole family for life. Learn more at stmarysdecatur.com/maternity.
Since 1955, Blaine's Farm and Fleet has earned the trust of farmers and Midwest families by offering great brands at honest prices, like an Easy 8 12-volt DC 8 gallons per minute transfer pump from GPI, on sale $179.99. Get a Lubrimatic 5-gallon lever-action pump or metal pump with non-drip spout, your choice, $34.99. Load lawn tractors, ATVs, and small two-wheeled items safely with 12,000-pound capacity Rhino ramps, regularly $39.99, on sale $32.99. Save 15% on Dayco belts, hoses, idlers, tensioners, and pullers. Take 10% off on all K&N, AC Delco, and Motorcraft auto products. Get your lawn equipment ready for spring with new batteries from Farm and Fleet, starting at $24.99 after sale and exchange, plus $5 mail-in rebate. And keep your engine running smooth with Shell Rotella T15W40 heavy-duty diesel oil. 2.5 gallons, just $25.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. That's genuine value from Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Hey everyone, I'm here with Aaron Letts, General Sales Manager from Jackson Ford. Aaron, what is going on at Jackson Ford this month?
All month long, every new Ford is just $1 over factory invoice.
Okay, so tell me more about this.
Come on into Jackson Ford, see the deals, test drive a car, and Jackson Ford will even buy you lunch.
You know I love food, but great deals and lunch?
That's right. And to celebrate the month of basketball, Jackson Ford is giving away a 65-inch TV to watch all of your sporting events.
And how do I go about winning that?
In the spirit of basketball, Jackson Ford has a basketball hoop on the showroom. For every test drive, you could take one shot for a chance to win the 65-inch TV given away at the end of the month.
So much fun and great deals. All at Jackson Ford, your automotive authority on Pershing in Decatur.
Jackson, Ford of Decatur, everything you're looking for.
In Decatur and at jacksoncars.com.
Catapult Shadow Dance is coming to Kirkland Fine Arts April 7th at 7:30 p.m.
An America's Got Talent finalist from Season 8.
Catapult features incredible dancers who create magical shadow silhouettes of shapes from the world around us.
Be amazed as you watch their bodies transform into a mountain,
an elephant,
a dragon,
or even a helicopter.
You'll never figure out how they do it, and you won't know what they'll create next.
You'll be surprised and delighted again and again.
Packed with hundreds of shape transformations, the show is full of humor, emotion, and engaging stories.
Go to KirklandFineArts.com. For ticket info.
This is Byers and Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Got a couple of minutes left here. Mark Sorensen did a piece or submitted a piece for the Tribune about how Decatur might have ended up with the state capitol. Can you give me the lowdown? And I think he's going to be presenting about this at the public library coming up in April.
Yeah, there was a really strong push from Decatur that we offered him, I think, $1 million in cash, the Johns Hill area to build the capitol. Of course, there's only 8,000 people in the city at that time, so
yeah,
$1 million, that was
a lot of money back then.
A lot of money, and and there was some debate. It kind of seemed to go forward in that. And interestingly, one of Decatur's most famous citizens, lived here. Governor Oglesby was governor at the time when the decision was made, and as I understand it, finally said it's going to stay in Springfield, which didn't go over too well with a lot of people in Decatur.
Yeah, but I bet they're rethinking all that now, if they were around.
Yeah, probably he was a man way before his time. He saw what was coming.
You know, Springfield's an interesting place now. It's a great city, and I don't mean to be pejorative at all. It just, I find this, and even more so that we have stations in all these markets, is that, you know, Springfield always relied on state government, really. They didn't have to worry about ups and downs or layoffs or Caterpillar or, you know, like the card, you know, manufacturer up in Bloomington. You know, they had a pretty, and then state government is broke and not paying their bills, and now Springfield's struggling a little bit right now. You can't be, as much as Decatur's always said, hey, we need to be dependent on something, we need something as an identity, sometimes that's a crutch.
Yeah, that's right. And Decatur's always kind of made its own way. We didn't have a major university here or anything else. Kudos to this city. It's always been really tough and bringing in industry.
We've learned to survive and evolve and grow. And I think Springfield, just like the city, is much like the government over there. They're just going to keep doing business as usual. They spent a ton of money on an economic development report that I read over the last couple of months that they're not really sure what to do.
No, and I think they're in a bad situation. People say, you know, well, Decatur's got, you know, economic problems here, financial problems here. Well, look at some of these other cities.
I'll tell you, ask Ryan McCrady, who was, you know, there running, basically in their aldermanic system, you know, their city over there before he came to be the city manager here. And he'll tell you it's lights out different. I mean, it's just, you know, completely different.
Well, that's the thing when you depend on one major source of income. You know, that starts drying
right
up.
I mean, if State Farm leaves Bloomington, I mean, what does Bloomington do? I mean, you know, so there's ups and downs to it. But I will tell you that we are surviving better than most. I know that the naysayers here are never going to believe that, but I'm telling you, it is true.
Yeah.
And I am happy that Governor Oglesby decided not to drop state capital into Johns Hill Park all those years ago. We dodged one there, Paul.
We did. Thanks, right. Gov.
We'll see you next Thursday. City Hall Insider Paul Osborne. You can check it out, DecaturTribune.com. Or get a subscription today. We'll be back after this. News is next.